Okay, it's time to call the May 20th, 2013 regular meeting of the Taney County Planning Commission. Mr. Ashley, would you please establish a quorum?
Okay, Dave Stewart.
Present.
Rick Caudill.
Here.
Steve Adams.
Here.
Ray Edwards.
Here.
Rick Therese.
Here.
Randy Hayes.
Here.
Ronnie Melton.
Here.
And Mike Schofield.
Here.
We have established a quorum.
Would you please explain the meeting procedures?
The Taney County Planning Commission's regular meeting is held in order to allow for the Planning Commission's vote on the previous week's public hearing requests, to allow for a new concept request, which will be presented in next week's public hearing, and also to conduct regular business. The Taney County Development Guidance Code is entered into evidence as Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B, and the staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, is Exhibit C. First, the Planning Commission will vote on each of the previous week's public hearing requests. Each project will be reviewed and voted upon by the Commission. There are no sign-up sheets at this meeting, as no additional public comments are taken unless expressly requested by the Planning Commission. If you are aggrieved by the decision of this Planning Commission, you may appeal the determination to the Board of Adjustment. Appeal applications for the Board of Adjustment are available in the Planning Office. Concept requests will be heard following the final vote. If you're presenting a concept request at this meeting, your name or your project name will be called. At that time, you'll be asked to please come forward and address the Planning Commission. Your proposal will be heard, and additional documentation may be requested for the public hearing next month. No public comment will be heard at this meeting, with the exception of testimony provided by the applicant or other persons with information requested by the Commission. You may leave after your case has been heard. Thank you so much.
Okay. I assume that everybody has had a chance to look over the minutes from the month of April.
I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Minutes are approved as read. Okay. We have a final vote tonight, and the first one up is Branson Canyon.
Okay. The staff recommendation on this, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First off, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, a special use permit shall not be required for each new nightly rental dwelling unit so long as a valid Division II permit and certificate of compliance are issued by the Planning Department for each of these units. Establishing compliance with both the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and the conditions of the decision of record. However, the owners of all nightly rental dwelling units shall comply with all other provisions of the Development Guidance Code, including all other nightly rental provisions. Third, compliance with letters from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District, the Taney County Assessor's Office, the Taney County Collector's Office, and the Missouri Department of Revenue, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature, shall be provided to the Planning Department office. Fourth, the maximum occupancy for each nightly rental unit shall be two persons per dwelling unit plus two persons per bedroom. The maximum occupancy may be further limited by the Western Taney County Fire Protection District. Five, one off-street parking space shall be provided for each two persons of occupancy in each nightly rental unit. All nightly rentals shall provide clearly marked and appropriately situated parking spaces for the handicapped, one such space in each parking area. Six, the management company or waste collection provider shall provide weekly solid waste collection during all months that each of the nightly rental units is available for rent. Seven, outdoor lighting shall be downward lit, subdued, and have minimal off-site impacts to adjoining properties. Number eight, all nightly rental units shall contain a minimum of one operable fire extinguisher, operable smoke alarms, and operable carbon monoxide alarms in compliance with the Western Taney County Fire Protection District regulations. Number 9, a copy of a valid Western Taney County Fire Protection District construction permit and certificate of occupancy shall be submitted to the Planning Department office for all new nightly rental units prior to the issuance of each Division 2 permit certificate of conformance. And number 10, an on-site manager shall be designated and located within the existing Branson Canyon condominium clubhouse slash sales building. 11, an 8 plate shall be posted within 5 feet of the main entrance of each nightly rental dwelling unit, both on the inside and outside of the dwelling unit, containing the following information. 12, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. 13, this decision is subject to all existing easements. And 14, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire.
And I don't think Mr. Lopez is here tonight, but I think you're going to be his representative, correct?
Yes, I can answer any questions.
Okay. Does the commission have any questions? What's your name, sir?
My name is Jeremy Worley.
Jeremy Worley.
Yes, sir.
Can you come forward?
Yes.
Can you meet all those stipulations as far as people on premises for each individual? Since these are going to be individually owned nightly rentals?
Yes, I mean, but I don't see anything that seems too out of place. And, of course, we're here to follow the rules and guidelines that you set forth. So I can't speak fully for Mr. Lopez as far as that's concerned, but I know that, you know, he's, like me, will play by the rules for sure.
But you're not going to own these units. They're going to be owned by individuals, right?
That's correct, yeah.
So then how are we going to be knowing that those are going to be done?
Repeat the question. Because
the on-premise nightly rental, if it's a nightly rental, there has to be someone on-premises.
Correct.
For each individual owner.
Okay. What we would have to do in that case is, you know, through the Homeowners Association, have an on-site representative there that the individual owners could call if there was an issue that we could. I mean, the clubhouse isn't a. It's just a temporary use area. It's not a dwelling, a living area. You know, so there'd have to be somebody on call during off hours that could make it to the property, and of course that's something we would have to work out. We've worked with some folks that live down at Big Bear that actually work at the storage unit across the way, so there's some folks close by that are willing to help that have been in the past in situations like that. But the way these nightly rentals are set up is in such a way that the guests of each unit contact the owner of that unit if there's any issues whatsoever. And in that case, if, say, a plumber needed to come out, or the Taney County Sheriff, or if the utility company needed work, those are all coordinated directly through that individual owner, who is highly attentive. And in the case that they can't get the information they need, we've been there to help the guest or the owner in whatever the case may be.
But they do not live within the stipulated distance away from the project?
The owner or manager?
No, the owner.
In some cases they do, but most cases they don't. They live in Iowa, or so, you know, and it's and we've been operating this way since 2006 and haven't had any major issues. I guess I'm curious, so that help me understand so I can explain to Mr. Lopez the benefit of having an on-site.
It doesn't have to be on-site.
Okay.
We're just thinking that there's got to be a contact person that could be gotten in touch with 24/7.
Okay, actually,
And you're saying that there is one, but our problem with that is when we redid these, that we stipulated was a 20 miles radius or something like that.
Okay,
I know it calls for them to live within Taney County or the adjoining counties.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. an hour away, wouldn't it?
Well, and that's been me. I mean, most everybody, and Phil's not like other developers. Everybody who buys a house there has Phil's direct cell phone number. And if there's any issues, they call him directly. And if he can't...
He would be the representative then.
He would be. And in the event, such as tonight, where he couldn't be here, I've come in his stead. And I live I live down on Tate Road, so, I mean, I could be there lickety-split.
Well, we'd almost need to include that in there. It's not such a problem now, but if you go to this 281 total or
correct.
Something in that order?
Correct.
If you go to that there's going to be some issues.
I agree. And one of the things that we talked about as we left last week was that, you know, especially once we, right, and I've already told Phil, I said, hey, my job is to sell these for you, and I'm already getting to the point where I've got three kids at home. It's hard for me to go somewhere at 8 o'clock at night, but I'm willing to do it, and gosh darn it, I've taken the kids with me, you know. But you're right, when we get to 200 units, Branson Canyon is going to have to hire an employee who is there on site, and he's willing to do that. He said he is.
Well, it's really the owner's responsibility to take out the insurance and acquire the certificate from the commission here to do that, but having that day around. It ain't somebody else's. It's the owner's responsibility under our regulations.
Correct, and that's for a single-family home or for a condominium?
That's
or
for a nightly rental and any nightly rental.
Regardless of whether it's a condo or a single-family home?
Yeah, if it's a nightly rental.
It won't do us a bit of good to prove this for you, because whoever buys the place is going to have to come back and get another nightly rental approval before they can rent it.
Okay.
So you've already got approval for enough to last for 7 or 8 years.
You had 80-some approved, and you just sold 37 of them since 2006.
Correct.
And I feel this is a sales gimmick from the real estate company to tell them they can make enough money to pay for it.
Oh. Well, I feel like, honestly, we don't. I mean, you're right. We've got, you know, enough nightly rentals to last us for a little while. But, you know, like I said last time, the folks who are buying these properties are nightly rental owners. And we're just trying to meet the demand of the market. And no gimmicks. I've never done a gimmick in my life. I'm Phil's sales representative, and I'm trying to advise him as to what is going to sell. And we're trying to do it the appropriate way. With good time, so that we're not trying to rush something through later on down the road. I feel like we're just trying to do things in an appropriate manner, that's all.
But if we approve them for you, they still got to come back and get a permit. Isn't that right, Bob? Our bylaw said that every time it changed hands,
if they sell the property.
Yeah.
Okay.
These are special.
Well, and okay. here was kind of my question, and this is somewhat of a question to the commission also, is when this was written, it does talk about a residential building structure or part thereof falls under nightly rental and requires a special use permit. But I didn't know in a development like this, this was originally approved for 84 nightly rental units. One of the questions that I think the staff had is on a condominium style development, we normally issue a Division II permit, which is a commercial permit, and we've always looked at that as more of a commercial type of use. I think I was a little bit concerned, and I'll just being really open and honest with that many individual special use permits, like if we ended up with 280 individual special use permits within one development.
Well, was it handled properly at that time with these being individual properties? These are not one building.
No, you're exactly correct.
Was it handled properly at that time? Or
it was. They met the provisions of the time, yes.
But initially, today, they do not meet that criteria.
I think one of my worries is if we approve 281 of them, and they don't sell, and we're going to have something sticking out there that won't meet the, that won't meet what.
But
who can predict what's out there? And they haven't sold the 84 yet, and they have more latitude and longitude on selling those than they would if the whole thing changes and goes under the regulations today, which are more stringent than the ones in the past.
Well, I think they've got plenty already approved to operate several years. and not be in any trouble. The only way that would change is if they was able to sell all 37 of them at one time, and then they're going to have to build them before they can rent them, and they got all the time in the world to come back here and ask for additional ones. That, I think it ought to stay where it's at until a later date when they get closer to actually needing additional units approved.
And I would totally respect that. I think that's, you know, probably wise. Even whatever you decide, we'll definitely abide by, of course. And that's, you know, you bet. I think that's true. I'm not sure then how to address the, you know, the increasing demand. And I guess we just come back and ask then at that time.
I don't think you've got any problem if you sell
I think
those.
If you sell these all out, the commission will be more than glad to look at something promoting
right.
that much growth within our county and helping the welfare of the county.
Okay.
I think it would be viewed more favorably if there was really a demand.
Well, that's really
of us.
That's really what it is, and I apologize if you thought it was some type of gimmick. I'm really just trying to advise my client appropriately in the case of, you know, what's selling, and you know, we've already, like I said last time, recorded in the declaration an area where nightly rentals are not permitted because there is a demand for those as well. And we've called that in the recorded declaration Branson Canyon Reserves because it does benefit us to have an area of the community where nightly rentals are not permitted because not everybody wants that. But right now it is what's selling, and that's and everything is driven by sales, of course. And in order for us to keep the community beautiful and keep selling units where folks are coming and doing, like you say, bringing guests and spending money in the county and everything, that's, we're just trying to do things right. So maybe I was a bit presumptuous by coming to the county commission this early, but I just thought I was doing the right thing by trying to be prepared. That's all.
Well, we hope we're doing the right thing too, mm-hmm. but there's a whole new wave of stuff that comes over the internet. And that's what's created this situation that exists today, whether it be good or whether it be bad.
Okay.
And we have people that have turned individual homes into nightly rentals
right.
in what I call upscale subdivisions, and that is
right.
viewed very darkly by the neighbors usually.
I agree, and that's one of the selling points that I've always talked about with Branson Canyon is that, you know, originally when the project was designed, it was designed for that in mind, knowing that we would have adequate sewer, adequate parking, and you know, if people know it's designed for it, you don't have those community issues. I'm you know, all for planning and zoning, and I'm definitely against those, you know, those houses in residential areas where nightly rental's not permitted. It's unfavorable to the rest of the community. Like I talked about, you know, last time, Integrity Hills blasting off fireworks. Even that's even worse, you know, and that's in a densely populated residential area. So. I agree with you 100% there. You bet. And that's why I think Branson Canyon, since it's kind of designed for it and geared for it, and people, when they come, they know that's what they're there for, it becomes a community of like-minded people, and therefore we can all work together for the benefit of that specific community, which was designed for that in mind. And that's why I think it's been so successful.
Well, I don't think you'll have any problem if you sell them 37 to come back here and go through this same thing again.
Okay. Okay.
Commission. I can't speak for future commission because
okay.
you're talking about 8 years, and I'm sure I'm not going to be on the
commission. Oh, come on.
But I have enough confidence in planning and zoning that they're going to take that into consideration.
I do, too.
And based on that, I'm going to make a motion that we deny this request at this time.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, before we vote on that, I want to get a sticker point. I want to get something cleared up in my mind. Okay, now, like the condos down there on Lakeshore Drive and stuff like that, are those condos, I know they're condominiums, are they individually owned, and are they any of those not in them?
They're in the city limits, and the city takes
care of them. No,
they're not.
They're not?
Nope.
Where are you talking about now?
Down Lakeshore Drive, where they put those new condos right there on Taney Como. How do we handle that with a building? So I can't see any difference from that being a subdivision. I mean, they're on different lands. They're not all stacked together in a high-rise building. But I don't understand what the difference between those kind of condos and just an actual building would be. I mean, we don't have any control over those condos. People buy them and then they lease them out. And not any rental.
I don't know.
Most of the time it's for a longer period of time where we didn't have any control on that. We're trying to control the nightly rental issue where they got different people every night. There's lots of people, they rent private homes out for 3 months, 6 months, or whatever, you know. But the way our code is written, if it's over 30 days, it's a different ballgame.
Well, we have a motion to table this until the future. I guess it's called.
No, we don't have a motion to table. We have a motion to
deny.
Motion to deny as presented. And I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Nay? Sorry.
Thanks for hearing us out.
Come back to us.
Mr. Chairman, I've got another issue I think we need to talk about here. I've got a problem with the present operation of the real estate agent and the developer giving out a certificate approving planning and zoning. Now, no doubt we've planned on those other units. We've agreed to that, and it's a part of that operation. But I don't think we need a real estate company handing out certificates on planning and zoning. I think it should come right back out of the planning and zoning office.
Each individual you think should come in.
Absolutely, and I don't think the real estate companies approving planning and zoning or handing out certificates to that extent. A lot of these buyers don't know, other than what they're giving them a certificate, they don't know that individual owner's got to come back here to get approval from the commission. And I would like to make a motion that certificate be eliminated. I don't have any problem with them telling them that the planning and zoning approved that, but they got to come back to planning and zoning for the final application.
You're completely right on that. I don't know whether we have the authority to do that.
Well, I'd like to see us send them a letter.
We can certainly pass a referendum that we are in opposition of this.
And send them a letter and notifying them, and then if we have a problem, we can deal with it at that time. Because the way it is right now, as I see it, they give me as a buyer a permit for nightly rental, and I come over here to get it. I bring that over here, and I come over here then to talk to Bob about getting a permit. And there's a conflict with something, that owner is in the middle between us and them, and I don't think we ought to be putting that.
I understand where you're at.
To clarify a bit, if I may, the nightly rental designation form that's used is only a way for the Homeowners Association to designate which unit is a nightly rental unit and which is not, because I guess back at that time they had, out of 281 units, there was 84 that were allowed to do it. So that's all that is. It's a designation for the Homeowners Association. It's not us giving them any kind of permission, to my knowledge, in any way. It's
well,
sort of an
does it say on that notice that it's been, that they have approval from the commission?
No. It says that the county has approved 84 nightly rentals back at that time, and it cites that language. And that's all it is, and it just designates that unit as a nightly rental, that's all.
Well, I'd rather, if you're going to hand that out, I'd rather have another sentence on there that says you have to go to the planning and zoning to get final approval on it.
Okay.
Permit.
We're going to follow any rules that you said, of course. You know, we're not here to break any rules or do anything outside of the ordinary. I just want to be sure that we're under the same guidelines governed by every other condominium, you know, in the county. And if I don't want to be the only condominium development that is, subject to another step simply because we share grass and not walls, because developing the property was challenging because we were restricted by these condominium guidelines, and we've done everything, you know, to the letter of the law at that point, and to be further restricted in this way might be challenging from a transaction standpoint, but I agree that you guys need to have whatever authority that you need over the nightly rental situation. We're not going to fight you on that for sure.
Well, I'm not trying to put an obstacle in your hands that others don't have, and you're the only one I know that's doing that at this time. But I want you to sell every one of them, don't get me wrong.
Okay.
But I don't want the buyer out here who doesn't really know the operation here to be misled. That's what I'm...
Would it be... And we're willing to cooperate in whatever way we can. Would it be beneficial for us to, and when I say us, I mean, you know, me as a real estate company, I just do the paperwork, right? Would it be beneficial for the developer when he hands out, when he does say designate a unit, to hand out a packet of information with all of these guidelines that you've suggested and sign off by the buyer that they've received that information and all of the rules and whatnot?
Have any problem with that, as long as he understands he's got to come here to get the approval.
Okay. Is that, is that the, again, and I'll leave this portion to Mr. Lopez because, you know, it sounds like we're kind of already in this Division II thing, and I don't know how different this is from nightly rental condominium. And when those, and I'm just speaking from experience, when I sell a nightly rental condominium at Emerald Point or Ball Creek or wherever, there's not the, it, once it's, it, as long as the homeowners association and the declaration allows for it, that extra step that you're talking about doesn't have to take place. Or does it? Am I wrong?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yes, whoever actually...
Well... We've got a number of condominium units like this development prior to these regulations that were approved in a similar way where I've got one now that I'm working with where basically the entire condo is basically one unit or one building where all the units are within one building, but it was essentially approved from the start as all nightly rental. I don't know, since
is
it was
a... Is there one owner on this, or is it different people own
it's
different units?
Basically, you have 18 individuals that own 18 different units. And so we, as I've dug into this further, we do have a number of these that were approved, you know, in most cases, early 2000s, that were approved as condominium-style developments, but there was also an understanding that they would have a certain number of nightly rental units, too.
And at that point in time, there were several projects that were approved, and it was brought up in the meeting that they would individually have to come back before and make sure, you know, to come back before the commission. But that's, you're right. That fact gets ignored a lot. But I don't know, I still, and he's absolutely right, but I still don't know how much enforcement we have on it.
Any more questions? For Jeremy? Hey, Jeremy, thank you.
Thank you.
Apex Tactical Fire.
If he wants to come back.
The staff recommendation on this is if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, compliance letters from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District and any other entities which have requirements governing a proposal of this nature shall be provided to the Planning Department office. Third, the applicant shall provide a copy of the ATF Federal Firearms License to the Planning Department office prior to commencing business operations. The applicant shall also provide an ATF receipt of payment of a special occupational tax to the Planning Department office on an annual basis. Fourth, signage for the Apex Practical Firearms business shall be limited to a sign no larger than a 2-foot by 4-foot unlighted nameplate. Fifth, absolutely no test firing of firearms should be conducted by the applicant. and or his clientele on the property in question, located at 2750 Victor Church Road, Brentz, Missouri. Sixth, the Apex Practical Firearms Act application shall be viewed as a special use permit. Therefore, the permit is specific to the applicant to whom the permit is issued and cannot be transferred without Planning Commission approval. The special use permit shall not be used to establish commercial compatibility for or with any future land use change applications. Seventh, all on-site sales shall occur between the hours of 9 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eight, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Nine, this decision is subject to all existing easements. And 10, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire.
Bring that seven back up there, Bob.
Okay.
Just would you please?
Yeah. Or, well, you
what
can't.
What did that say? Nine to what?
Sorry. Yeah, it's 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. I apologize. It doesn't cut it off on the screen, but it does on the.
I didn't catch the what time of night.
Eight p.m.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and Lowell Miller, is he here?
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay, we had a pretty good discussion on this last week, but Rick Caudill was not here. He might want to ask you some questions.
Yes, sir.
Do you have your paperwork on the concept?
I do. The bank question is, I looked at the map, and it's not really close to anything. How far are you away from your nearest neighbor?
My nearest neighbor is probably 200 yards away. Maybe.
Yeah, and you're not going to be firing any firearms?
Not at all, sir.
Why do you need the extended hours to 8 o'clock?
Right now, during the summer hours, I work a full-time job at Ride the Ducks, and from time to time, my work will take me till 7 or 7:30 at night, and there might be the occasion where somebody wants to pick up a firearm after hours we've already arranged. We meet at the house, do the paperwork, transfer the firearm, and we're closed.
So you do not keep any ammunition or anything initially on?
Not at this time. I won't... Basically, I'm going to be an order-in type of business. Somebody wants a particular firearm. They tell me what they're looking for. I shop for it, get it to come to the house, lock it up until they come to take delivery.
Your permit through the ATF, do you have that already?
No, sir. I'll be in the process as soon as, at the end of the close of business tonight. I'll have that in the mail.
Is that something that we have... On number three, we have said that that has to be presented before we can initially submit this or give this out.
At this point, but of course it's...
You can get a permit conditional to this.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, that's saying if
it's approved. If it's approved, that has to be done.
Yes.
There's no ammunition on property.
Not at this time, no, sir.
But there is going to be later on. You're going to load shells, aren't you?
No, sir. No, sir. I will not be reloading at all. I'm only planning to sell already boxed ammunition that I get from another supplier and small quantities of that only.
You're not going to store any powder or anything like that?
No, sir. If I start to reload, it's only going to be for my use, and that powder will be stored separate from company stuff.
I think that would have to be a different license.
Okay.
That would be a separate license, I would think, from the ATF.
Sure. Yes, it would.
If you're going to sell it. No, if you're going to sell it.
No, to sell it, yes, you would.
Yeah.
But, yeah, exactly right.
I mean, he has 5 acres there. If he wants to fire his own weapon in conjunction with this business, he has the right.
Absolutely.
So, the only thing you're going to do is, if I come up to you and want a .357, Ruger, then you're going to try to find it for me, and then we'll make the deal if the price is right. And other than that, then you're going to make guns, put them together, too.
Yes, sir.
They are not going to be no bullets, powder, or nothing like that on site.
No, sir, absolutely not. I don't want the liability of hand-loading ammunition.
I don't know where I got crossfired at.
He made that statement last week and he wasn't going to reload it.
Well, I must have been listening to the other one.
So the only commercial sales you're going to have are boxed shells and
finished guns.
Finished firearms, yes, sir.
I'd entertain a motion.
I would move to approve this project as presented.
I'll second that.
With the stipulation he gets his firearm permit.
Oh, yes.
That's,
well,
that's number three.
Yeah.
That's in his
decision of
that's
record.
Yeah.
He did say he don't have shells on site, box shells.
That's all he will
probably would have some on site, yeah. The common use shells, I would say, assume.
And that may have to be a different license also with ATF.
I'm sorry?
You may have to have a license to sell shells.
To sell ammunition? I've researched that, and no, sir, under a Type 7, I can sell ammunition,
can
too. Yes, sir.
I'll still
say you can do that.
Okay, no motion been made and second to approve it as presented. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Here we go.
Thank you, everyone.
He's not going to have that. Oh, no, he's not going to reload shell that's ever himself.
The old boy said it'll be under himself about it. Remember him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, on the Kenny Barrett Center.
Okay. On this one, I presented an email that I received from one of the applicants' representatives. The staff recommendation on this is if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code that include plans for the following: a detailed site plan via a landscape architect, surveyor, or engineering professional licensed in the state of Missouri, showing the exact location of the various uses and the number of parking spaces available to serve said uses. Second, compliance letters from the fire district, sheriff's department, the on-site wastewater permitting division of the planning department, the Taney County Regional Sewer District, the Village of Merriam Woods, the City of Rockaway Beach, the Missouri Department of Natural Resources, and the Missouri Department of Transportation, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature. The applicant shall either submit a compliance letter from the City of Rockaway Beach or the Taney County Regional Sewer District ensuring connection to municipal sewer, or shall provide a copy of a valid construction permit for a wastewater treatment plant via the Missouri Department of Natural Resources. Fourth, the applicant shall provide a letter from this may not actually be necessary at this point, after if he has revised the number of RV spaces. The next one is the applicant shall either submit a permit for a new well or shall provide a letter from the Missouri DNR indicating that the existing well will serve the needs of the Kenny Bear Event Center. Sixth, the applicant shall submit a current copy of a liquor license to the planning department office. No alcoholic beverages shall be sold which exceed a 12% alcohol content. Seven, all live bands shall cease operation at 10 p.m. in compliance with existing Merriam Woods ordinances. Number eight, the applicant shall provide a copy of a current MoDOT access permit indicating that the existing access may be utilized as the commercial access point for the Kenny Bear Event Center. Number nine, either a privacy fence or a 25-foot vegetated buffer shall be provided along the western and southern property boundaries between the property in question and the adjoining residences. 10, the applicant shall provide proof of liability insurance to the Taney County Planning Department prior to opening day of operation. 11, all light sources within the facility shall be arranged so no direct illumination leaves the site toward adjacent residential areas or any roadways. Number 12, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. 13, this decision is subject to all existing easements. 14, Division 2 permits will be required for all applicable structures in the development. 15, the applicant shall indemnify and defend the County of Taney, its officers, employees, and designated agents against the payment of any and all costs and expenses resulting from any third-party claims, causes of action, lawsuits and liability arising out of any approval or decision on the proposed project. And 16, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County of Tenney County Recorder of Deeds office within 120 days of the approval shall expire. I did want to go ahead and remove this one because the applicant has indicated that he's going to be proposing a smaller number of RV spots, basically.
Could you take it back to number 7? It says all bands shall cease the operation. If he has one like in the saloon,
and
indoors?
And I had wondered the same thing. If
I mean, would that not be permitted to go on past 10 if it's indoors?
I don't think it would, per the regulations of Marion Woods.
Well, I don't see why
they
would
have anything
to do with it.
Well, why is that recommended in there then?
Trying to get along.
Yeah. The city of Rockaway and Marion Woods don't really have anything to do with this, actually.
They're not in Rockaway, and they're not in Marion Woods either.
I think should it get approved, he should have the ability, if he has a music group within, confined within the building, the so-called saloon, it should be able to operate past 10 o'clock. But outdoors, yes, it should cease at 10. That would be my suggestion. Yeah, I'm putting a little bit too much stipulation on somebody trying to run a business. Come on up, Kenny. Did you propose to have live music in your saloon, like on Friday and Saturday nights? Is that going to be part of your operation?
Yeah, after our last meeting, after the public hearing, I took a look at everything. The main thing that I'm wanting to do is I want to focus on the Horse Barn Saloon, which is an existing building that has been basically completely gutted out of all the stalls. The outside is framed in, ready to start on the plumbing. I want to convert that into an actual bar selling wine, beer, and wine cooler sales only. No hard liquor. I want to be open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, from hours of 1 p.m. to midnight. Promoting live entertainment with inside. Mm-hmm. I would like to do 6 scheduled events on the property itself every year, which is rally-type events providing on-site camping, primitive. I want to have 1 bathroom with 2 stalls and a shower. That's it. And then anything outside of that, I will go in coordinates with the Tenney County Health Department like I've been doing in the past, and have on-site porta-potties. I work with Tillman. Jody Tillman is the person that has been providing me with the porta-potties every year. We have a good working relationship. He comes out. They're clean. He makes sure they're up to code, cleans them, sets them up, and then when he comes to pick them up at the end of the event, he cleans them again and hauls them off. There will be no dumping station, no sewage use other than basically 3 toilets and porta potties.
Yeah, well, I noticed you indicated showers in there too, so it would have to be something done with the sewage. If you have 500 people there, even if primitive camping, they're going to be taking showers.
If I have 500 people, it's hard to say exactly how many I'll have. I mean, I'm not looking, you know, I'm not looking at Fayetteville Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue, I'm not looking at Sturgis. I'm, you know, very small.
How many you had there in the past?
At the most, a couple hundred.
How big is the barn?
1,400 square foot. Seating capacity, 65 people. And I would definitely stay in compliance with code and with county. I mean,
has it been in compliance in the past when you've done these events?
The events that I have had in the past, last year I did 2 events. Last year the complaint started after 11 o'clock. County dispatch called me and said, hey, getting complaints, can you shut it down? it was done by midnight. Anything outside of that was pipe music, and I turned the pipe music down. Everybody just sits around, enjoys the campfire, and goes off to their tent, goes to sleep, goes home at the end of the event.
So were they in compliance? Did we have permits for those particular uses?
Up until this year, we issued a special event permit. This basically came up upon receiving complaints about the shooting range.
Okay. And if I remember correctly, you said last week that the shooting range is out, right?
Yes, I'm not going to do an outdoor shooting range. I'm not allowing shooting at all. In fact, I don't even shoot there. I need practice. I'll go somewhere else. I'll go to Busick State Park, whatever I need to do. Okay. So, and I am going to be taking, once approved, I will be doing the land cleanup. I will also be taking down the targets, taking down the berm, that's the existing berm that's there. So there will be no shooting whatsoever.
Okay. And you feel that you can comply with the parking regulations?
I can. Well, I mean, with the number of people that I've had in the past, like I said, the most I've had is a couple hundred people. And as far as people camping, I was lucky if I had 20 camp spots. So, I mean, it's always been a very, very small scale type thing. The bands play during the day, they go up until about 11 o'clock, and they stop. With having the saloon, that's really going to be the main source of income for the business. And I want to stay small on that also. I'm not looking to go 7 days a week or have, you know, wild blown out parties and things like that. I want it to be respectable.
If you fill up what you've got there, the 4.5 acres is right? Total?
I thought it was actually more like 12 total is what I have.
No, what you're trying to get?
Oh, yes. I have a vendor area that's set.
So what are you going to do if you fill up that 4 acres?
If it starts expanding and gets bigger, then I'll resubmit, go back through the steps, and ask for approval to expand.
Why are you not doing that at this time?
Asking for expansion?
No, going ahead and covering the whole property, the expanded part yet.
Well, because the biggest majority of the area in yellow is the area that I'd be using.
Mm-hmm.
The area on the other side is all heavy wooded area, and it's got a good-sized bluff that drops off to the backside. It's a creek that's dry and goes back up.
So it'd be hard to expand to that.
It would.
There ain't none of that you can expand to?
I can, you know, maybe put in a nature trail or, you know, put in some kind of walking trail or something in the backside, but even that's going to be pretty costly to do.
And that's on top just to park stuff and you ain't got, if you cleaned it?
I'm sorry?
Past the yellow point, they ain't enough flat there that you can... I guess what I'm saying is instead of submitting the 12 plus what you got, or 12 total,
mm-hmm.
instead of submitting 4, are they 6 or 7 that you could?
Whatever this, from this point here all the way to that corner right here, whatever this total amount is what I would be using as the event center itself. From this wood line all the way back to about right in here would be all primitive camping, along with on this side is all primitive camping. Tents here along this side and RVs in this section. This front part right here, as you come in right here, this whole front part right here would be all car parking, which during motorcycle type events, you're looking at cars coming in long enough to go to their spot, set their stuff, go back and park. Majority of people coming out are going to be on motorcycles. They're allowed to actually go to their spot and park. So Security would be provided at the entrance, of course, for the check-in area.
Well, what I'm concerned about is if your events that you have, if you have vendors there on whatever you do, if you have more than you can handle, I don't understand why you're not asking for more on this deal in case of that, because you never know. You might overload the first month as far as people and cars and stuff in there.
And I get,
then you can't use what you don't ask for.
Right.
You know.
And I get, you know, I guess that'd be a good problem to have, but I don't. I just don't foresee that problem as of yet. Advertising. I mean, I'm putting this together with basically no income. So until I can establish a loan, establish company names, get the things established, get the advertising, I don't see, you know, it's basically word of mouth and what promoting I do on Facebook, and that's about it. The first event that we had for the special use permit, which was in April, I did not have one person show up. So it was really a complete flop. The weather was the biggest determining factor in that. The other things, you know, the rally type stuff, it really depends on what else is going on in the area besides just that. Sometimes you got to have other things support one another. And, you know, until I can get scheduling down right and figure out who has what going on and when, you know, I've seen example of the rally in Rockaway a couple of times completely go upside down because they scheduled it during Sturgis, which really pretty much took everybody away. So, you know, competing against bigger rallies and stuff is kind of suicide, I guess. I mean, I would gladly say I'm going to have 1,500, 2,000 people, but I just, at this point in time, I don't see that. 2 years from now, as it gets established, the saloon gets a good name, I can see things progressing. But right now, just starting out, I don't see a major.
Well, the reason I brought it up is if you put, I misquoted last week for what I said, but what I was trying to say, and I'll tell you tonight, is if you have two people per car, that's 100 cars for 200 people.
Right.
That's going to take a lot of parking for 100 cars.
Right. Absolutely.
And then if you have your motorcycles or anything, your vendors that come in there, if you're putting that all on that site.
Well, the vendor area, I mean, I do have an area that is designated for vendors, starts right here and goes to right in this cluster here and straight back up to the drive. I can, the way it's set right now, I can do 25 vendors.
I hate to give a blanket okay to any kind of event at any time. Can we talk about giving a permit for the barn and then still doing the individual permits for as event? So if we've got a problem arises because of the events, we can say, nope, we're not going to do that anymore.
And I did ask Bob about being able to possibly look at just getting approval for the saloon and focus on that, and then as I have a event come up, get the special use permit to have those events.
I would feel better about that. Then we've got a lot more control on each individual event, and if it shows that the area will not sustain that parking, we say, we can't do it anymore.
Yeah. Well, actually, it would go through you. It wouldn't go through us.
Right.
Well, and that's what I was going to say, too, is a special event permit is one that's issued administratively. There's not a whole lot. The only thing that's really in the code book pertaining to special event permits, in all honesty, is really just a definition where it talks about special events for periods less than 30 days require a special event permit. But it's not.
But if you see there's a problem with with parking, or if it continues to be a problem. You know, you could see a problem a time or two maybe, right, and parking on the street, but if it was to continue, we would just have to say this property is not good for that.
What, one thing as the staff I would, that I don't have in this, that I would really like to throw out there, based on this new information that just came through to me this afternoon, he's indicated that he'll limit it to five events, and I think along the lines of what you're talking about, I think as the staff, I think we would recommend definitely a limit on the number of events per year too, and I don't currently have that in there.
Right.
There was an event in Rockaway this weekend, wasn't there? I know they use the old call property there, and they use it in a similar fashion to what he's proposing out there, what they use. And I mean, we're not getting into what Rockaway does, but I know what he's talking about is not so dissimilar to what they're doing there at Rockaway, and they allow primitive camping, and they have the portable toilets, and they have stuff like that. And this was within about 200 yards of where he's talking about, and this is already going on by the city of Rockaway because it is property owned by Empire, but it's leased by the city. And there was an event going on this last weekend. I just happened to drive through there, maybe after the P&Z meeting. I don't know. I didn't stay around very long. I'm too old for those events.
Well, the events that I have, tentatively scheduled, is the main one that I did last year. I was going to do again this year, the Rock and Blues Barbecue event. It's a three-day event with on-site camping provided, primitive camping. Like I said, the RV spots, I'll be enhancing on that with electric and water only.
No dumping station on premises, according to that.
Correct.
Down to five instead of 20.
Right. I just want to get, just put five in there. Majority of people that come out, they bring tents anyway. So, I mean, they're really not into the luxury. They're into the three-day fun, listen to the bands, enjoy some barbecue food, and have an area where it's confined. They don't have to actually leave unless they want to. And it's regulated. You know, I mean, I have on-site security that watches everything. And
you're going to sell alcohol, beer, but only in the saloon, not
correct,
by the six-pack or not by the to carry out.
Correct. It'd be in the saloon. Absolutely. If, I mean, if, you know, if someone's camping and they want to, and they have their own,
they bring it. That's
they bring
a different story.
On their own stuff. Yeah. So, the other event, the other two events, two in July, Independence Day rally, and I was going to do a first-time biker camp, and then August is Papa Bear biker camp. September is Patriot Day rally, and then I'm done for the year. So.
Well, Mr. Five didn't serve your needs. I imagine you could always come back here and reapply. But now, with that, does he, when he has one of these events, does he have to go to you, Bob, and get a special event, or is it just all these five okayed now?
If we okay it, the five is okayed now, the way I see it.
That's the way it's written now, but it, of course it's at the discretion of the Planning Commission.
I feel a lot more comfortable with what this latest bulletin we got on what's written up there, and he's asking for a scaled down operation of what we was asking for before, and I think we could define whether it is meeting regulations or whether it isn't. It seems a lot more plausible to me than what we had looked at before.
I just don't want to have to come back and say, we've got cars parked on the road, and we've got cars everywhere, and everybody's complaining all over, and we've okayed that.
And I understand where you're going.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I would really like to
can't argue with that.
I hate to give away our control totally in five events a year, and I hope it grows. I hope it grows to where Rockaway Beach is something that people can come to, and they support that. And I think they would.
Yeah. I hope you have to fill that 12 acres in. The parking, but that's my main concern.
Well,
the parking.
You can't park on the rest of it, Rick.
It's cost prohibitive.
Yeah, I know now.
Yeah.
I'm saying, I hope he grows where he can fill it in.
It is just one whale of a buffer.
Pretty much, yeah.
Any more questions for the applicant?
would entertain a motion on this.
Is he coming back to get special event permits?
No, not if we approve it. If we approve it, he's got five can have a year.
And you do understand that our number seven up there, any music outside has to be shut down by 10 o'clock.
How many cars that we need to...
Can do that.
How many cars?
The bar is midnight.
Somehow.
I would like to ask
no
if
parking
you
outside.
Would consider
I don't make any difference.
At least going to
No, just for
room.
Us to know.
Nobody really cares.
Rick?
I'm asking just an hour.
Rick?
Just an hour in there.
We've got number seven up there. Any outside music, 10 o'clock. In the bar, 12. You wouldn't know if we could go to 11.
Outside?
Yes, sir. That's what I've done in the past. Complaints started coming in at 11:30, so I know, I mean, by past experience, pretty okay until about 10:30, 11 o'clock. I mean, I'd be willing to shut it off even at 10:30.
I wouldn't want to push my...
Ordinance was 10, right?
I believe that their ordinance specifies 10. Okay. I was looking at the representative. Okay.
Well, since we're neighbors, I hate to see it change it.
I do too.
Okay. And that's fair enough. I'm good with that.
I make a motion to accept with the stipulations that are recommended.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Motion been made and seconded. It's accepted as presented with the changes we've made. All those in favor, aye.
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 Opposed? There you go.
Thank you guys very much. Thank you.
This is a lot different than the first deal.
Well, the change makes a big difference compared to what I read originally. That 2 pages of things I wanted to do.
Basically, until it got down to this, they didn't even really have a comprehensive plan.
Right.
Is Terry Filcher here?
And I have not had any contact with him. The staff did send him a letter at the request of the Planning Commission specifying exactly what he was to submit. And haven't heard anything from him at this time. Of course, it was tabled basically last month until this month.
So he was told the dates that he was tabled and it extended to, right?
Yes, yes.
So he's out of time.
And, we just gave him specifications of what the Planning Commission requested as far as engineering. And
but we told him he had till this date to get those things done in that letter.
I told basically, let me grab the letter. Yeah, it's in the...
Oh, is it in the new?
Yeah, it's actually in the... But basically, I just indicated to him that the dates that he could present it to us in order for it to be presented to the Planning Commission.
And we, at this time, we just... since he didn't show up, we just denied because he wasn't here. Is that something? How do you?
You can do that, or you can extend the grace period, give him more time at the discretion of the member.
So if we deny it now, he can just come back and reapply.
Yeah.
Right.
Because
I'd make a motion we deny it based on him not meeting our request to have. The changes that we asked for,
and
if he wants to try it again, he
can
refile.
I'll second that.
Yeah. There was a motion, correct?
Right.
Motion has been made and seconded. All in favor, aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. You send him a letter now, telling him he's going to start all over again.
Okay.
Well, he hadn't really started anyway. He had no firm.
Well, he didn't have a plan.
He didn't have any firm plans, that's right.
I mean, it's as simple as that. He didn't have
a plan.
And we asked for that in the concept hearing. I asked specifically for that.
Right.
To give us some specifications. Not just I'm going to build a barn.
Yeah. I agree 100%.
Wrong location anyway, based on the number of people that's out there.
Yeah. Well, you got Paramount, and that's no telling who's out walking around or anything else.
We've got two concepts.
Yeah, two concepts. Yes, I'm trying to find that concept. JG Ranch and the campground. And let's see, applicant is George Kramer.
And the only thing that the staff's put together is some aerial photos of the property.
Do you?
Is there a representative here for this GJ Ranch? No representative.
Okay.
Anybody here? We have to table it.
And normally it is tabled if there's not a representative.
Yeah. Okay. I would move to table.
Move in made. We table this JG Ranch Arena Campground until...
And that
the contact with the applicant.
That was going to be one of my next questions, just to confirm this, so there's no confusion on the staff's part. Are we tabling until basically the June concept hearing, so June 17th?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. He needs to show up.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to clarify the date.
Yeah. Okay.
Just to...
That's not like George. Usually he shows up if he's got anything to do about it.
Okay, then. Veterans Victory Village.
Okay. And just, of course, have a very brief PowerPoint presentation just as far as the location of the proposal. This is it's on Sunset Inn Road, and this is the location in relationship to the county. It's basically all of the parcels highlighted in yellow and this parcel that, for whatever reason, highlighted in blue as well. And I've got a couple that zoom in a little tighter, but essentially this Sunset Inn Road ends at this property. It dead ends right at the property. And then here's a copy of their site plan. The applicants and representatives have a pretty detailed PowerPoint presentation, I believe, that they would like to present at this time as well.
Thank you so much for letting us share. This is going to be the Veterans Victory Village. And this is the entrance to the property. It's a beautiful piece of property that belongs to this lovely lady back here, Marie. And we're in the process of buying it. It's beautifully flat. And we feel that this would be a real healing place for veterans, especially handicapped veterans. This is the, I'll use my little thingamabob here. As you can see, you come in this way, and there is the road. Right there, we've got seven domes. Now, if you see over here, you can see, it's hard to aim this thing. That is the outside of the dome structure itself. So each one of these is not the entire dome structure. It's just this, the darker area there in the center. And we have seven of these. There will be about 200 families that will be in this area. Go ahead. Now, the reason that we want to have a situation like this is because children especially can be very cruel. And if you've got somebody coming back from war, they've lost one limb, two limbs, three more. They need special housing. They need a special place where they can recoup, where they can gain some dignity again. They really need that so badly. But it's not just them. It's their family as well. Their family needs to try and figure out what's normal now. And with children especially, if you're the only person on the block that's got a father with one leg, well, how come your daddy looks like that? Or how come your daddy's got a funny face, he's been burned, whatever. it's hard for these kids to deal with that. But if everybody in the area has something similar, then they've got some people to relate to. That helps them a lot. It helps with their healing. Okay, for the children, we have the ladybug dome, the caterpillar dome, and we have activities, and the aquatic dome. Now,
sorry.
Isn't that beautiful? That's okay. That's okay. The ladybug dome is just adorable. And what that is an indoor place for children to play. When it gets so hot here, they need to be able to still run off the energy, and it's hard to keep kids enclosed and not have the energy just about burn you out. So if we've got a place where they can play, and this is also set up for handicapped children. So this is something that is very unusual. Do you want to go ahead? The inside here, now, do you mind if I come up to the screen? This area here, if you've got a swing set where you've got a modified swing for a child that's handicapped, they can actually go in it and be strapped in. And it's not a baby seat, it's not a baby swing. It's a normal size swing for them, but it's modified. You push them in that swing. You say, I'm going to push you three times. They move their legs. They're getting therapy, and they don't even know that. So you've got everything that is set up, and I won't go into all the detail. But some of these kids that are handicapped have never been in a treehouse. So you create situations like that where they can be as normal as they possibly can as well. This is a series of three domes that has actually been created in Valdez, Alaska. Now, as you see, they've got a swimming pool here, Olympic-sized swimming pool, bowling alley, daycare center, offices. They have a little restaurant. Here they have a multi-purpose arena, hard to play soccer in the snow. And here they have a great big skating rink. Now, what is really unusual with this one is that they have a chairlift that goes up in between the two domes, and they actually have a ski slope up here. That's kind of fun. But if you've got all of this set up there, the children have got lots of place to play, a lot of place to run off their energy. Now, this speaks for itself. Who wouldn't love to go and play in that? Now, this is a beautiful, beautiful swimming area where there's an Olympic-sized swimming pool, and lots of activities for the kids to be in. So we've got social activity domes as well. Now on the main level, we have small shops, barber and beauty salons, gift shops, restaurants, offices. On the ground level, we have shaded garden, patio, and deck extensions from main level restaurants, and a park in the sky, a roof garden, where you can go up on the top and enjoy the beautiful night gazing. Again, this is where our social activity dome is, right here. So that will be available for all people there. Now, doesn't that look pretty snazzy? That's a beautiful dome. And that is the social activity dome. This is just a simple layout of what it would be with the water running underneath it. Nice little pond. Get it all landscaped and everything. Now the welcome dome will be just inside the entryway of the property. It's 139 acres. And that will be a place where we can give a lot of information about why we have, what we've done, whatever. So right next to that, we can have a grow dome and a green restaurant. Now, green is well overused. But the green concept is what we want to have because we want to create this as a learning project as well. This can be a learning project for all the people. So we've got a restaurant and a market selling homegrown fruits and vegetables from the grow dome, state-of-the-art hydroponic, aquaponic, and vertical farming systems, veterans operating and maintaining all of this. It will be a learning session for them as well. That is right down in here. So you can see you come in here, and there's a driveway in here, and there's your restaurant and grow dome. therapy. Now, of course, these people need a tremendous amount of therapy. They need counseling. They need physical therapy. They need mental therapy. They need a lot of help. So whatever we can do to help these people learn how to be the best person they can be after they come back. So we have a fully equipped gym with an interior track around the dome perimeter, therapeutic and exercise activities with endless pools, and I'll show you what a picture of an endless pool is in case you didn't know. It has a current-resistant underwater treadmill with walking and running speeds from 0.4 to 8 miles per hour. Now, that's resistance training. Hydrotherapy jets with variable speed currents and interior seats, dual propulsion pools for swim lessons, training, and competitions. And all pools are 100% accessible for disabled people. These are the endless pools. Now, even Olympians use these, because you can imagine if you're going to be a long-distance swimmer, except Lake Taneycomo, you guys can do that here. But it's very hard to find a place where, you think about it, it goes like this all over the place.
58 degrees.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's 55 degrees.
Then you swim faster. But with the endless pools, there is a current. Are all of you aware of what endless pools are?
Yeah.
Okay. Then that explains itself, because you're swimming against the current. That helps builds up all of your upper body pressure and everything. And the treadmill is amazing, because if you're walking in that water and you can increase the amount of strength and power that that water has against you, you get an amazing workout for that. Okay, now our outdoor sports and recreation, that's self-explanatory with all the wonderful things that you guys have here. But we also have included field events, baseball, volleyball, badminton, tennis, handball. Why? Because they all need to keep busy. Water sports, boating, canoeing, kayaking, and fishing. Nature trails, hiking, biking, horseback riding, and camping. Tenting, RV hookups, picnicking, croquet, and lawn bowling. And these are just a few of the things. We can come up with more. You can see here where all of this area is. Now, I know we won't be able to build any kind of permanent structure down in here, but these aren't permanent structures. We can have baseball games and whatever down there. Whatever it takes to get these people back to living as normal a life as they possibly can. And, of course, over here we have nature trails, hiking, backing. This property is so absolutely beautiful. It's just gorgeous, and they will take full advantage of that beauty. Thank you. Now, we have a residential dream dome. This is actually where the people will be living. We have workshops up on the third floor for building model trains, planes, cars, boats, woodworking, anything that you can think in terms of to keep yourself busy and keep yourself going. Classroom with mentors for homeschooling and college courses, and conference room with kitchen for family reunions and parties. And this is another thing that we want to bring in the family. They're the support group. They're the people that are there saying, hey, yes, you can do it. You're worth it. Go ahead. This is the residential dream dome. Now, when I was telling you about the outside of the dome, that is this area here. Like that. This is an alternative. Now, the one before had arches. This one has more of a squared off openings. This is the floor plan here. Now, this dark line here is the outside of the dome itself. You've got a walkway all around the inside of the dome. You have a village court that is 110 feet in diameter. That's huge. You're not sitting on your neighbor's doorstep. There are 22 units here and 22 on the upper floor. But as you come out here, you've got your parking places, two parking places, one handicap for each unit. So you've got your parking places here, you've got a walkway that goes all the way around here, a green belt, and then this is a walkway But because one ramp goes up and one ramp goes down all the way around, your second walkway goes a little bit like this. We call it a power walk. So it's a little bit, it's not hard for people with wheelchairs to go on this. There are no stairs in the entire building. There are residential elevators and ramps. This is the interior court. This is the Mediterranean version. We can have anything that we want. So this is the Mediterranean. The next one is Southwest, New Mexico, Texas, if you want. And this is Old Europe. My husband is from Holland, so we have to have something from Old Europe. Now this again, I'll show you here. This is your parking, your walkway, your green belt, your walkway, your green belt, solariums around the bottom. Then you go to this walkway here, and then these are the units, and there you can see the interior court. And up on top, you can see where there's a roof garden up on top again. This just shows you how the slope goes down, the ramp goes down to the first floor, and the next one shows you how it goes up to the second floor. So it's all handicap accessible. If you see, from this point to this point, is about 50 feet. So it's not like you're going to walk in there and kind of duck. It's not going to feel that way at all. It's going to feel very open, and that beautiful inside of the dome will actually be absolutely gorgeous. We can put cloud formations through there, sunrise, sunset, whatever you choose. Thunderstorms with no rain and no tornadoes. The first of the units. Now this one, you come in through the promenade, and this is on the first floor. You've got a big living room, dining area, big bedroom. Now Nick put in twin beds to show that you could have a king-size bed. If you want twin beds, that's okay. Big bathroom, all handicap accessible, great big nice kitchen there, and it goes out into the village court. These are a few alternatives of that one. This one is actually 914 square feet. This is unit two, and here we come in on the upper promenade, on the lower, no, I'm sorry. This is the ground level one. Okay, this is the ground level, and this is upper one. Come in, you've got a big dining room, big living room here. Big bathroom, again, handicap accessible. Lots of room for a wheelchair in here, plus the shower and the bathtub is handicap accessible as well. Big kitchen here, but you have an upstairs and a private elevator. Upstairs, the upper promenade, you've got sliding glass doors here. Another bedroom here, big one, and your big bathroom, a den that could also be a bedroom, and a large vestibule with two walk-in closets. Unit three is very similar to the other one, just a few changes. Same idea, again, you have the private elevator that is right there. Now this one is the smallest one of the five. It is 802 square feet, so it's still not all that small. You've got a dining room, living room, kitchen, large bath still, and a nice size bedroom. These are actually two on the upper floor combined, and this is a total of 1,607 square feet. Now, why would we use domes? Domes go up very quickly, and they stay there. That's the beauty of it. They are earthquake-proof, tornado-proof, hurricane-proof, and fire-proof. They say that there's nothing stronger except maybe a rock. They have an R factor of 60. The heating and the cooling will be no problem whatsoever. When they make small domes, they heat them with something the same as what you would use for a hairdryer. And the cooling is actually what you would use for a small cooling unit for an RV. So this is going to be a super green victory village, 100% wheelchair accessibility. Now, what we want to do is make pathways all over the place for wheelchairs as well. We have something called invisible structures that is made from recycled plastic. It is actually laid out on a gravel bed. And then what you can do is you can put soil on it, you can plant grass in it, and you've actually got a solid enough surface for a big truck like a fire truck to actually put out its stabilizers, and it will not make any dents. You can also have gravel pave, which is also using those little pieces of the recycled plastic, little rounds of the recycled plastic, lay it out, put gravel over top, and then you've got a perfect driving surface, and that will never have ruts. Now, we also have a stormwater, watershed, and wastewater management systems that we will show you later. And it's FEMA-compliant alternative renewable energy technology. We got that from the university, or the college in Crowder. Yes, Crowder College in Neosho. Forgot where it was, sorry. So the Victory Village, Veterans Victory Village, is an innovative and creative approach to normalcy. We've got to help them. They've given everything they can to us. We've got to help them. I know Gary Sinise with the Wounded Warriors is building homes for wounded warriors. But they're only doing 10 a year. 10 a year. And that's not enough. That's so difficult to try and keep up with the number of these soldiers that are coming back with real problems. And we can do it a lot faster. If we put them in here, they've got a place where they can get back to normal as fast as possible. Actually, Missouri owns a beautiful library, and it is a dome. You can see how strong that dome is by the car driving right over top of it. And that one is, where was it? We tracked it down. No. Where is that library?
I'm not sure. I don't know which university it is. You have to check it out.
Yeah, it is in Missouri. I know it's here. Oh, it's McAfee. McAfee Library. It says right up there.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it? Thank you.
Well, let me ask you just a few brief questions. We'll mainly ask you questions next time on the other one. But we have run into issues like this. I believe this is off of T Highway, isn't it, Sunset?
It's off
of
T Highway.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we've run into issues before on the road supplying the traffic. How many, are you going to be open year-round?
Oh, yes, this is going to be living accommodations. And we have addressed the road situation already.
Okay, it would be good if we have that information as far as next week.
Of course.
We'll have some questions on it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Address that here. Is that relevant?
We've turned aside to him, and we do look at concerns and whatnot with the road. I mean, we're looking at 200 families in here. So you're going to have increased traffic, plus you're looking at staffing. There's going to be a faculty or staff, and we'll assume help with the veterans.
It will not, it's not going to be an assisted living place. It's not going to be assisted living. It will be actually homes. They will be in their homes. So it's not like we're having a lot of medical people coming back and forth. We can take them in buses or whatever, vans, to their appointments from there.
But there will be maintenance-type people, I'm going to assume, people to staffing as far as care facilities.
Well, that's part of the trick, is that we want to hire as many of these veterans as we can and give them jobs. And they can work there on site as much as possible. They've got to get back to normal.
I do have some other questions. Back in the first part of your presentation, most of this is eco-friendly, where they're going to be trying to get back to a normal life. They're going to be creating gardens, different things like that. Will any of this be open to the public for possibly resell? You got restaurants and stuff here. Is that just for the families themselves, or is this?
No, actually, that is a training. That is a training facility as well.
Okay.
There is a restaurant called the Fair Start Restaurant, and what they've done is they've taken in homeless people. Now, I'm not equating those veterans with homeless people, but I'm just using it as an example. What they've done is they've taken these people in, and under the tutelage of these very, very well-known chefs and people that work in restaurants and whatever, they are working, they are learning how to do new skills. Now, these people do have to learn how to do new skills because they can't go back to what they were before. It doesn't exist anymore. So if we can bring them in, help teach them skills, like with the Grow Dome as well, teach them how to grow things with aquaponics and hydroponics and whatever like that. If you get people to learn that type of a thing, then they've got new skills that they can feel confident with them, their ability to stretch out and to become somebody different.
I understand that. That the restaurant you're saying, that's going to be for the people that live there, but it'll also be they're learning a new trade.
Mm-hmm.
Is this open to, I mean, what are they going to do with the food book here? Are they going to sell that to?
Oh, no. If you see here, we've got parking here for 60 cars and parking for 160 cars here. So this will be for the restaurant. And then we will have tours through this area, guided tours.
But it will be commercial.
This will be commercial, this part will.
Right. And are you going to build it all at once?
Well,
no.
We're going to be...
No.
Just snap my fingers and there it goes. I wish it was that easy. What we would like to do is start, and if we can get your permission, we will actually do one foundation, the next foundation, the next foundation, and then do the air form. Do you mind if we show you just quickly? Do you have time to see how a monolithic dome actually goes up?
I know how they go up myself.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
What about the rest of you gentlemen? Would you like to see it? It's just a very quick one. Can you pull it up, Mom?
Well.
And let's see.
We don't have any sound. Oops, you have
I've
to got, listen to me. So
I apologize. I've got the wrong one here. Let me switch. Yeah. Yeah. For whatever reason, I'm having some issues with the sound. So this may not be the.
Well, this is the invisible structures that I was telling you about. And this is the gravel pave and grass pave. Have any of you ever heard of invisible structures? No? Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, we actually do have sound somewhere.
I hear something. Oh, there it is. You got it. How did you do that?
It's just not very loud.
Get the sound louder.
Yeah,
can you hear it at all? No, I'm sorry. The sound is just on just a very little bit.
We're all older.
I know.
I don't know why I can't seem to.
Okay, well, let me explain then quickly. What it is actually, let's see if we can get back to. Can you start it over again? So
yes. Far? Oh, no, not a problem. And let's just.
Okay, now, the invisible structures, like you said, they're recycled plastic. little rounds, and they're actually put on a form, so they're you lay them out, and it's kind of similar to laying on a bed of nails, if you will. You lay it out like that, and then you load it up with the soil or the gravel, and then you've got this surface that is solid like this, but it's totally porous because it can go, the water goes right through it, as you can see here. Now, these are those little rounds that I was telling you about. And it goes right through because there's nothing stopping it. It's not like asphalt or concrete or anything like that. Plus, when it goes through, it takes out all of the poisons. Now, you can see that, of course, you've got your oil and gas and all of the stuff that's on the top, and it goes right into your ponds and creeks and into the lake. But with this, because it goes through that system, it actually doesn't do that at all. It goes right into the water table clean. You can hear a little bit. Now, this is what it is. See there? They're just small. They're about this big around, but it's big enough to just lay out and just fill with the soil and then plant the soil inside. DC-10 jet. That sounds pretty good. So we can have all of our parking lots like this, or actually have them as gravel pave. I apologize for the poor quality. But see, like this, it just looks like a beautiful grass field. And what it, there it is. You can see what it looks like now. And you can walk across it in high... Well, you guys can't walk it across in high heels. But you can go across it, of course, in wheelchairs and whatever. So it will not allow any indentations at all. Anyway, that should give you a little bit of an idea on that one. Now, if we could get to the one that has the domes. There we go. Okay, I'll basically be quiet on this one and let you guys just see.
Sorry, I was trying to... Here we go.
I guess I'll have to. Okay, there's a ring beam foundation that goes all the way around the exterior of this. And then you put your rebar inside the concrete foundation. And see how it goes in like that with the rebar all the way through? So that's a very simple foundation that you lay out with all your rebar sticking up.
There is a tornado warning, just so everyone knows.
Here?
For Caney County.
Oh, goody. Where's a dome when we need one, huh?
Ma'am, that's really none of our concern at this point.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought it might be of interest to you, that's all.
Well, it is, okay. But you need to show this thing when there are people here that might object or be void or whatever. That this is just a concept to see whether you are have your ducks in a row to come forth and actually presented as a project.
Okay.
I have one question.
Yes, sir.
And nobody says anything, but it's on everybody's mind. Funding.
Yes.
How is it funded? It's none of my business, but...
Do you want to explain how it's going to be funded?
Well, funding? It's a humanitarian loan.
Okay.
And we know we can get that. The people that give it out, they have seen the project, they like it very much. You just have to put the package together. They have to get a zoning permit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can put in an application for the loan. And we will ask if $70 or $80 million will be enough.
It'd be that much at least, because this is not cheap.
Yeah. No, I know that.
This is not a cheap project.
No, it isn't.
Okay, that answers my question.
What about your sewer?
I'm sorry, sir?
Your sewer system.
Sewer? That is through Schaefer. The sewer system is through Schaefer?
Yes, Schaefer, yeah. It is.
The sewer system would be a totally separate from the Taney County system. It would be a private system. Of course, licensed and permitted by Department of Natural Resources, but right now the intent is to go with what's called the copyrighted is called the Schaefer system by Schaefer Industries International. It's a series, probably two deep lagoon systems, and they are aerated, and they're much different than a typical lagoon system because they're aerated, and the depth allows for a larger volume, and the anaerobic digestion works a lot better with the additional depth. I've got information that I can provide on that next time. And then, in addition, that the intent is to use that wastewater, and it may have to go through additional treatment like UV or chlorination, but to use that wastewater for irrigation on the site. Okay.
Tornado warning for Phil. Okay. We'll see you next. We'll see you next month, I guess, at the public hearing, which will be the date. Do you have a date for that?
That'll be on. Sorry.
We had it there a while ago.
Yeah. I flipped my book here. It'll be on June 10th at 6 p.m.
That night we'll see what your neighbors have to say about it.
All right, thank you.
Okay, Bob, any tentative business?
And you'll get to go through your whole presentation again just as you have practiced tonight.
Yeah, you guys have to listen to me all over.
I don't have anything this evening, so.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'd second that.
Being adjourned.
I was going to say, be careful.
Oh.